What's up, everyone? Welcome to the season finale of Sit Still, Look Opinionated, a comedy and political satire podcast. I'm your host, Claire Malky. That's Starbucks peppermint mocha. Overpriced. It's amazing to me that we've come to the end of season four. That means, in the total life of this podcast, we've produced over 60 episodes, written over 1,000 headline jokes, and Michael has edited 1 billion hours of audio content. Okay, maybe not that much, but bet if you asked him, that's the number he'd tell you. In 2021 alone, we were awarded a grant, sent thank you packages to our interview guests from season one through three. We started a Patreon community, built a website, and sent out weekly newsletters. All that to say, we're really doing the damn thing. When I think back to why I wanted to start this podcast, it was all about finding my voice. And I've learned so much along the way about what makes a funny joke, what heightens a sketch, and how to conduct a thoughtful interview. I truly believe the best way to learn something is to just do it. Nike style. Not sponsored, by the way. Conventional wisdom teaches us to learn a trade in school, leave that institution, and then apply to large organizations to give you a job based on your skills. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that logic. It's predictable. It's comfortable. It's safe. Conventional wisdom is also risk averse. If we forge our own path, what happens if we fail? What will people say? What if the path is rocky and tough to navigate? What if that's actually how life is in the long run? In moments of self-doubt, I like to remind myself that everything started as an idea that someone acted on. Every single thing. I mean, have you seen The Social Network? Especially around the holidays, I like to believe that anything is possible. And not to sound too preachy, but isn't that the quote-unquote meaning of Christmas? To have faith in the unknown? To rely on hope to open doors? I think that's what the holiday spirit is all about. Hey, if we can believe in Santa for the first 13 years of our lives, then we can believe in ourselves for just one day. What's that, Mike? You stopped believing in Santa when you were 8? And it's not normal for teenagers to believe in Santa? Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, I was an only child, so there's just a lot of stuff there. yeah. Santa, if you're listening, I do still believe in you. We have got a fantastic finale today. Today in the Sit Still studio, we have the Chicago vocal trio, the Peppermint Patties. This interview was so good. The Patties were so sweet, no pun intended. And I really appreciated their perspective on music and reinventing old-time classics. And just their all-around energy was so, so lovely. So definitely stick around for that interview. And just a heads up, in the interview with the Patties, we talk about their live holiday cabaret. And because of some scheduling things that went on, the live holiday cabaret has already passed. But good news, you can check out their live stream tomorrow, Saturday, December 18th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Visit thepeppermintpatties.com for more information. Today, I'm drinking that aforementioned peppermint mocha. So full of holiday cheer, yum! Grab your drink and let's get started. Up next, this week's headlines. To create healthier future generations, New Zealand plans to gradually ban all cigarette sales. Better watch out, Instagram. Gavin Newsom is implementing a weapons ban, citing the same authority Texas used for their abortion ban. At least he's taking some shots. A Starbucks in Buffalo successfully unionized last week. A tall order for any Starbucks. Veteran news anchor Chris Wallace is leaving Fox News for CNN. Wait. Those channels still report the news. Exhausted global citizens are wondering if the pandemic will ever draw to a close. Turns out, COVID is just like my to-do list. Never ending. China has reported zero COVID deaths since January, which is the same energy as me assuring my boss that I work the entire 8 hours at my 9-to-5. One member of a Proud Boys group in Wisconsin wrote last month about protests. Tell me where I need to be and I'm there. How about you go to your job? Then I don't have to wait 20 minutes for a McFlurry. The World Health Organization has said that the Omicron variant is probably in most countries. That's like baking cookies, bringing them to your kid's school and saying, yeah, these probably have nuts in them. Malta has become the first EU country to legalize cannabis, but smoking in public or in front of children will be illegal. Then how will all the French babies show that they're both aloof and cool? The UK is using racetracks as vaccine sites in wake of the new wave of COVID. My money's on liberals to finish first. And that was this week's headlines.
Right. Everyone put your hands together for that rendition of The Little Drummer Boy by Bill from Accounting. Our headlining act for the company's Christmas party is the new guy, Jesus Christ from HR and his band. So let's give them a warm welcome.
Actually, I'm Jesus Christ, like the Son of God. I mean, I really appreciate this birthday party for me, but this is the second coming.
Whatever, where's the band?
As Revelation foretold, my New Orleans brass band, the Seven Trumpets, is on the way.
That's not in the Bible.
Yeah, about that. Most of the Bible was fan fiction, written by a Victor and a Victoria.
Boo!
Hey, folks, sorry. We'll get the band up soon. And, I mean, if this was Jesus, wouldn't there be fire and brimstone?
A 2,000-year game of telephone with that book! Revelation was supposed to say that me coming back would be fire, as in it'd be sweet or dope, and we'd all be getting stoned.
We want the band!
Sorry, they're probably rolling blunts in the van.
Okay, Jesus, are you at least the lead singer?
Yeah, but I dance too. That walk on water story wasn't literal. It should have said, he dances so fine, he could probably glide across the sea.
Next you're gonna tell us that Santa's real too.
Oh yeah, he is.
Then why doesn't anyone get presents?
He got depressed after the Reagan era. Now, can someone bring me a rum and coke?
Shouldn't it be wine?
Would you drink your own blood? And we distill rum in heaven, which is in the Dominican Republic.
If heaven's in the Dominican Republic, what happens when we die?
Long story, but I moved to the Caribbean after I faked my death, aka the resurrection, and nothing happens when you die. That's what I came back to tell you.
What about religion?
It's all nonsense, and all religions are silly. What you're supposed to do, regardless of what anyone said in the Bible, is have a good time.
So, what exactly are you?
Another long story, but Neil Gaiman nailed it in The Eternals. And it has pictures. I told Victor and Victoria to make the Bible a graphic novel. Ugh.
Jesus, seriously, where's the band? Folks, please stick around.
As the Son of God, I command you to stay.
Yeah, text us when the rapture happens.
Goddamn Bible, it was supposed to say only the righteous would get invited to my rap tour.
And everyone's gone now. Thanks, Jesus. Should I be an atheist now?
Really? Really? An atheist? I'm standing right here. And I thought the first go-around was rough.
And now, Sit Still Podcast presents Radiograms, from one stranger to another.
Dear Kanye, they still think I'm talented. Love you, Kanye. Dear lakes and rivers, chasing waterfalls? I just don't get why. Love, the ocean. Dear doggo, sorry you took the fall. Not really. Love, cat. To my parents, hi mom, I know you stalk me all over the internet, so this one's for you. And I know you read everything out to dad. Love, Molly. To my boss, why do you always leave me on read? From anonymous employee, but you know who I am. To Jenny, thanks for teaching me all the hip jargon. From hashtag cool grandpa, dap. To Dave, please stop sending me pictures of your deck. I'm not interested in home improvement. From Mary.
Hello, this is V from the Sit Still crew. I just want to wish my fellow crew members happy holidays, and I just love and appreciate you all and have had such a blast writing for you guys these past two seasons. Let's continue to do this thing in the new year. All right, love you guys. Bye.
To the ghost that lives in my closet, I think it's only fair that if we're going to share a living space, you should at least pay rent. From Gary. To Chicago, I'm very happy I moved here and I'm only a little disappointed that you're nothing like the musical. From Roxy. To student loans, can we stay on a break? It's better off this way. Love, millennials.
To Christina, thank you for being my partner on this journey. You make me a better person. I love you. To the moon and back. From Mike.
To our patrons, Mac, Yasmin, Ashlyn, Samantha, Lara, Andy, Christina, Anthony, Jamie, and Anna. Thank you for all your support. From Claire and Mike. To all of our listeners, we wouldn't be here without you. I mean, we probably would be, but it would be much sadder. From the Sit Still Studio.
This is a little holiday gram I would love to send to my cat, Gilda. Thank you for all of your support of Sit Still and, you know, the fact that you grew thumbs and downloaded the podcast, got a phone plan and everything just so you could listen to Sit Still. Like, even now I hear you messing with your toy in the background, and I just know it's because you're just so excited for the next episode. Anyway, I love you, Gilda Katner. You're the best cat both sides of the Mississippi.
To Saran, my partner, thank you for being the absolute best support system for me. And thank you for letting me win all the card games. I love you. Love, Claire. And to my parents, Christina and Paul, thank you for believing in me even when I couldn't believe in myself. Love, Claire. Great news, everyone. We have new patrons to thank. We couldn't do this podcast without the help of Mac, Yasmin, Ashlyn, Samantha, Lara, Andy, Christina, Anthony, Jamie, and Anna. If you want to hear your name next week, come visit us on Patreon at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Up next, my interview with the Peppermint Patties. For today's interview, we have the Peppermint Patties. Thank you so much for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
We're so excited to be here. I am super pumped to do this interview with you all. You know, the Christmas season is upon us, and you all have a great Christmas, some Christmas songs, and I'm excited to, you know, chat about your band and your music group and everything like that. For our listeners who maybe are unfamiliar with you all, could you introduce yourselves and give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. My name is Anna Caldwell, and I went to DePaul University, studied opera. I've lived in Chicago for 10 years, and I have a background also in musical theater and stage singing.
Right. I'm Dinah. I also did my master's degree at DePaul. That's where we all met. And I was living in Chicago for the past, like 10 years. And I recently moved to Cleveland, which is where we are together today. And I moved here last year with my husband. And I'm also an opera singer. Mostly stick to classical music stuff, but I dabble in musical theater and jazz for fun. But I mostly stick to the opera side of things.
And I'm Laura Smalley, and I've also been in Chicago for 8 years now, went to DePaul for my undergrad. I'm a singer in many forms, but also an administrator, and I run a Chicago Fringe Opera in the city of Chicago. So we all have our own niches, but came together as a group, which is why we're here.
Lovely. Yes, you all mentioned you went to DePaul. Did you start this group while you all were studying, or was it a little bit later?
It was actually after we had all graduated. So Laura and I were talking about this earlier today, but we all kind of staggered our time at DePaul. I started in 2011 originally, and then took some time off and eventually finished in 2016. And I know Laura was there for that, and Dinah came in. So we all sort of overlapped, right? And I should, like, Dinah and I got our master's degree at DePaul, and Laura did her undergrad there. But we actually started our group in 2018 because we had all stayed in touch after we graduated.
And, Anna and I did a cabaret show together previously before the Patties, right?
Yeah, that's right. We put together a cabaret and performed it at Davenport's, and it sort of whet our appetite for wanting to do more cabaret-style shows. And we can talk about how we came to be.
I honestly don't remember why we decided to hang out, but we were just like, hey, it's happy hour at our favorite bar. So we all kind of were in the same, Anne and I were living a few blocks away from each other at the time in Rogers Park. And I think Laura, you were just like, come to hang.
I think we just went to get a drink and maybe watch RuPaul at the bar.
Amazing.
We just started talking about Christmas time and caroling and how they had just done a cabaret together, and we wanted to all gig more around the city and get out of our opera rut in some ways after school.
Sure.
And we just decided, why don't we sing together?
Yeah, like we should. I think it went something like, oh well, we should all do a cabaret together. And then we were like, oh well, if we did a cabaret together, we would do trios, right? Like we would do solos, we would do duets, but because there are three of us, we would find some trio music to do. And so we started thinking about, well, what trio music would we do? And of course, the Andrews Sisters came up among other things. And suddenly it kind of became this like natural progression where we sort of accidentally started a vocal trio.
And we came up with the name Pepper and Patties that night.
We did.
On the spot, because we were like, at the time we were two redheads, and a blonde with longer hair. And we're like, what could be like, and at first we just thought we would just do Christmas stuff. So that's why we kind of made it like peppermint, you know, kind of festive-y. But it kind of, I think we talked about like Peppermint Patty from Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And how she was like super feisty and fun.
Yeah.
We love a pun here. So we just kind of came up with it and then we did it.
And then I think we all thought, oh, we're just gonna do this one Christmas show and we have this cute name for this one-off kind of Christmas show thing, but people loved it so much and we had such a good time doing it that we wanted to do more. And so after that we also got another Christmas gig, like a corporate Christmas gig, that same season. And things just sort of happen for us. I mean, obviously we put in a lot of work to make some of those things happen, but it wasn't like we kind of started out with this grand marketing plan. You know, we just thought, let's do a show together, and then let's do a show together became let's do more shows together. Let's actually turn this into something that has longevity.
And here we are. In a pandemic and all.
Yes. That story is so lovely. And I've noticed throughout Chicago, there is a little bit of that sparkle, like, yeah, let's just put on a show at Davenport's, or let's just put on a Black Box. So that's such a lovely story. And you know, you just brought up the pandemic. How was that this past year or plus with all of your music?
How was it?
I think I'll save everyone the trouble of our own individual pandemic stories. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a really good time for us because, well, Dinah had moved, and so, and we couldn't rehearse together in person. And so we had to innovate in, like many other arts companies have. Mm-hmm. And so we started getting really good at filming and recording remotely and doing choreography. And that's the birth of our series of videos on our YouTube channel. And we became a video production team.
And we did take some time off.
We did. We
to just like, we're in a pandemic. What do we
do?
I would say between March and September of 2020, you know, like everyone else, we were really just processing and kind of taking it. We didn't do too much during that period of time, but we started to kind of, we stayed in touch though. Like we spoke regularly, like we were in touch. But we started to revisit the idea of when it became evident to us that the pandemic was kind of here to stay, we decided, well, you know, we saw other companies and other artists putting out digital content. And we said, well, maybe we should do something for Christmas since that was kind of our thing. We thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could bring some holiday cheer virtually to the people that loved and supported us before the pandemic started. And I sometimes wonder, like, if it had, we hadn't been in the pandemic as it was and seeing other people really innovate and work hard to create digital content, if we would have made that leap. But fortunately we had like other role models to kind of look up to in this process. And I think that gave us the courage to put together the digital concert.
Yeah, it was. And it was, I don't suggest moving states during a pandemic, but that's what I would. So doing things that like kind of kept me grounded in things that I was doing before was really helpful to transition that like lonely in between time of like getting to a new city and not really knowing many people here, but still creating content that I'm passionate about in this new way, because now it's kind of like you have to have this form now. So
yeah,
and it's all, and like we do our own video editing. We do have someone help us with audio, but otherwise we do all of our everything ourselves. And it really, I think, helped us step up to like be an awesome group, even though we were states apart.
And again, like continuing with the theme where like we didn't really have a plan, like a master plan. Like, although we are all like organized and creative and we're definitely like, we like to think about things like or do things thoughtfully, we didn't have a master plan about what our digital content creation would be or would become. But our virtual concert ended up having like a really positive impact on our followers. We had far more people watch it and share it and than we could have possibly anticipated. You know, it had over 800 views on YouTube at for the live premiere of it. We had 172 screens for that. I think that's the correct number, but it was far more reach than we ever had in a live show. Because we always play intimate venues where it's like 40 seats, which is awesome. We love that. But this was eye-opening to us how we could reach people that cared about our music all over the country and even some people in like Europe and things like that.
And then, yeah, using those people as my friend Dovas, who lives in Lithuania, played the trumpet for us for our Boogie Woogie virtual video. So it's just like things like that that we would have never considered before became a reality. And they were like, of course, yeah, no problem. You know, and he just made it, you know, and then we put it together and it became this really awesome. That was our first video, was Boogie Woogie, right? Yeah,
that was the, that was our first virtual song release after the digital holiday. And from there, we just had momentum that we built on and have been putting videos
since
out
January.
Since January every month.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research before this interview and I watched a few of them and I loved the lollipop one and I loved the choreography and yeah, it's quite impressive. And especially if you all, you know, aren't together to be able to like keep that, like the timing of the steps, they're quite lovely. So listeners, highly recommend listening, going on YouTube. how did that feel? Anna, you were mentioning, you know, reaching so many people. How did that feel to notice that you were able to connect with so many people across the world?
I'll jump in first and say I'm from Iowa and I have a large, you know, my family and friends are mainly based there. And I have a support system in Chicago, obviously, from being here for years. But my family and all of their friends got to watch the full show from their living rooms. And I got to share performances that they never would have been able to see. And my grandparents, Reno, were very, very quarantined at that time. And they never, you know, every year it's harder for them to travel. And so they got to see the work that we put in and make great music and share that Christmas spirit and holiday joy across state lines. So that was really personally wonderful for me, for them to get to see the work that we've been doing, just too far away for them to come.
And I'm a teacher and I own my own teaching studio. I've been teaching for a long time. So I've had some students come to our live shows, which is like the sweetest thing in the whole wide world. I think we had one of my like 8-year olds came to our Valentine's Day cabaret last year.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I sent, and then all of their families, my students got to see their teacher do something really cool, you know, during this time. And they've been watching these videos too. And they're super excited about their teacher being a part of this new kind of way of expression and art form. So that was a personal thing for me, is my students are incredible and I'm a voice teacher. So it's important for them to see like your teacher doing something important and cool, but also family too. My grandma's almost 100 years old. And she had a stroke this past April, but she watches our videos. My mom will put it like on our big screen, and she doesn't remember a lot of things, but she knows who we are.
Yeah.
And so she'll put on videos of us. And my grandma will be like, oh, you know, like, she understands who we are and what we're doing. And it'll kind of like wake her up for a little bit. But yeah, it just gave us a chance to people that have children that maybe can't get to downtown, you know, or people that have early mornings or people that maybe that's not their venue choice, but they enjoy the music. They were able to just like be in their PJs, curl up with, you know, by the fireplace, not leave their house, be safe, and enjoy a quality show. And we, you know, and I think we delivered that. It was really fun.
I remember when, like right before the live premiere on YouTube of the holiday concert, we were all obviously online, kind of waiting for this to drop. And we were watching the number of people waiting, like kind of tick up. And it was really exciting and also a little scary, to be honest with you, because it was unlike any sort of performance experience I had ever had, because obviously all of the music was, we pre-filmed everything and edited it. So that when it actually went out into the world and was like, you know, burst into the world, like we were all sitting there looking at our computer screens.
We were our own audience.
Yeah,
I know. And I was like, don't look at me.
That was so weird for me. I'd never experienced anything like that. I will say the scary part kind of for me morphed into this really intense desire to like make the following content that we created as good as we possibly could. It was kind of an eye opener. It was like, wow, if people are going to pay attention to this and respond to this, like I want to make it the best it can possibly be. And I want to see what we can like do differently or what we can. It just really, it made me feel like, wow, this is something, we have a serious opportunity here. And I wanted to like make it awesome moving forward.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that feeling of like, it kind of sparks that fire in you. And you're like, if I can do this once, like, can we replicate it? And, you know, that is in this new digital age. I completely, that is a really strong feeling to want to keep that moving forward.
I'm going to be honest, social, like, YouTube is a social media platform, and like,
oh, yeah,
digital validation of people like actually watching it and but being like, oh my God, Lollipop has 2,000 views. Like, the validation of that is a little bit like, not addicting is maybe the wrong word, but it really draws you in and you're like, you want more of that.
Like, we can see the numbers. I mean, like, we can see our audience like that one night, but we can see the numbers climbing. And I think that
we can see the data because it's suddenly we have this whole world of like data. And I didn't mention it in the opening, but I have a background in marketing and analytics and, you know, things like that. And so I look at it, come to it from that perspective too, which is a way that I'm not really used to like coming at my artistic pursuits. I don't think of them in those terms, but suddenly I was able to, and I was like, wow, you know, if we, you know, do these things strategically with keywords and all of it, it was just a whole other
SEO.
Way.
Yeah. speaking of, strategy and, you know, in the artistic side, from my research and from when we had, chatted earlier, you talked about your music as genre fluid. Can you talk a little bit about what that means in terms of your style and, you know, how that, pushes your content creation?
So we all have a background in classical voice, right? And mm-hmm. that means a lot of different things. To me, it means that we're really technically good, very good singers. And so we're able to, I think, really kind of be flexible about the kind of music we can do. And a lot of our show, from our Christmas show, if you've watched it, we do everything from Andrew Sisters, like Bing Crosby type stuff, to an actual more classical piece where we're using, I guess, our more fuller, warmer, opera sounding voices. Our Summer Over the Rainbow was written for us specifically to highlight that part of our talents. And being able to be genre fluid gives us, I think, we can sing it all. I think not everything, but we can pretty much sing it all because we're technically really great singers. So I think that's what it means to me. And we're able to.
Yeah, I think from a trio perspective, it gives us a lot of room to sing the music that we want to sing, mm-hmm. which is not something you get a lot of opportunity to do in school, in auditions, in shows. You kind of get pigeonholed the longer you're in music world. Mm-hmm. And none of us feel like we truly fit in one category at all times. Mm-hmm. And so this gives us a chance to stretch our talents, mm-hmm. stretch our technique. And singing in a trio is very hard. It's like a totally different use of our voices to blend really well with three very different, frankly, different voices that we work mm-hmm. hard to make it sound as good as it does together. So selfishly, we get to sing the music that we love that we haven't had opportunity to do. So we have made our own opportunities, which is a big key thing I learned since graduating college. Mm-hmm. They tell you the world is your oyster, and then you have to go find
the oyster. Yeah. Right? It's not just one.
Yeah. Go to the beach, bring your shovel, dig up all the sand, and then you'll find it somehow.
Do it again.
Yeah. And just every single day. Don't ever stop. I went to school for classical acting. Shakespeare. So different, but you know, that classical range, it's like, yes, this is what you'll do. And that's all that you will do.
I think that genre fluid for me really means that I get to kind of exist without rules that are often imposed on us. And a lot of that for me also means that I have the courage to approach different types of rep that I'm used to hearing in a very specific way, but with my voice, mm-hmm. and to not apologize for that, to say that, you know, maybe I'm going to sing a song that comes from a musical theater piece that's usually sung in a very specific way, but I'm going to approach that with my own voice and say, this is what this means to me with my voice, no matter what the genre is. I think that's also a big piece for me.
Yeah. I think there's some for our solo stuff. I know I pick songs that I would never get cast for because I want to sing them because they're fun, especially musical theater. I would never, you know, and I was like, I love to sing the song and I can lay down the song and I get to sing it because I'm running the show, you know, so because I can. So I think that's fun too. Just being like, well, just because I won't get hired for it in the real world doesn't mean I can't do it for fun. Myself.
It's a big confidence boost to pick your own rep and then feel like you did a really good job singing it. I think I've built a lot of trust in my own singing ability with this group that I can do whatever song I am passionate about. So
yeah,
I'm over here nodding my head.
Yes. Like we change things with you. Like some things stick and some are really grown out of. Mm-hmm. And we have to find new things that work for our voices that are maybe more comfortable in this. We're all actively taking voice lessons. We're all actively
from the same teacher.
From the same teacher. Voice lessons from the same studio, which is hysterical. But so we're all growing in that way too as solo artists. So we have to find things as we grow, find group numbers that now fit us in that time. And sometimes nothing changes. Sometimes we'll be like, hey, maybe me and Laura will swap a line.
Yeah.
And like, we'll swap a line. She'll sing the bottom part and I'll sing the middle part instead. And we'll kind of take turns kind of flitting from here and there to make sure that no matter what, it sounds like us. And I think that's a really cool thing too, like being able to be flexible and doing stuff that makes us sound good.
We also, as a vocal trio, try really hard. There's no lead part here. Like that's something that kind of often happens with trios, where you have kind of one person that's always sings lead. While we often gravitate toward particular harmonies, like I'm usually on the top, Laura's usually in the middle, and Dinah is on the bottom. It doesn't necessarily, we don't view it as like the person who has the melody is the lead. Like it's not like that for us. And we all try to find rep that features each of us. And you know, maybe for one piece, like I'll do some solo lines, but on another one, like on Shushu, like Dinah, that's like a feature piece for Dinah. So we really try hard to do that.
And Laura has her ukulele.
Yeah, she does that too.
So we're just multitasking.
Yeah, we like to just
here.
Switch it up with some ukulele.
Love that. Yes, I also have a ukulele that, you know, you just bring it out every now and then. But that's lovely. You know, you were mentioning, you know, bringing pieces and finding pieces. How do you all find your music? Is it just sort of, songs that you love or, pieces you're inspired by? What's that process like?
Oh, I think both. We do a lot of listening and research, and, I find myself listening to music in a musical or on the radio and singing, I bet the Patties could do a version of that. And so that fits into our genre fluidness, that we can pick things out of the ether and make it Patties. And so we want to do more of that as we keep going. But yeah, we look to the Andrews sisters, the Lennon sisters, and the Cordettes is like the core of that. And then we find the Patties outside of that.
We've also made our own arrangements. We made a few of our own arrangements too. Or like we'll have like, which one do we do? The one with Wes that we did for the Valentine's Day show.
Oh, Volare.
Volare. We like did a we like rearranged it and did all this stuff.
I took the choral sheet music that I had from Volare and like, which I should say, if you're not familiar, Volare is a really famous Italian kind of pop crossover song. I think it's sometimes called, it's called Volare, like casually, but it's Nel Pinto di Blu is the
actual. Volare.
So it's really well known and we've all sung it in like a choral setting and things like that. So we took that choral music and we were like picking parts out and like kind of putting it together and then looking at solo versions of it. Like there's a great solo version with Dean Martin, other singers of that style. And so we just kind of took all those components and built it for ourselves and for our a guest artist we work with frequently, Wes Taylor.
I don't know, how else do we pick stuff?
You know, we have a very active group chat, like guest thread, I should say. So often when we talk about, oh, we hear something, we get an idea, like I think probably almost every single day there's something that comes up on our group chat. We'll just send each other YouTube links, sometimes with no comment, you know, and then we have weekly meetings. We get together almost every week for at least an hour to talk business, to talk scheduling, to talk life stuff. We're all also really good friends, I should say. So like we
are these women.
Right. So we always make a point in our meetings to like ground ourselves, like in our friendship, to check in, like what's going well, what's not going well, how are we feeling? And then we get down to business, you know? And so it's in those meetings that we'll throw out ideas. We'll source sheet music. You know, if I had an idea for a piece, I'll usually be the one that sources the sheet music if we need it, or the lead sheet or whatever it is.
Or we find music for each other. I think I've seen this yeah. so oh, yeah. for both of you.
We'll be like, hey, you sound really hot singing.
Dinah does. You do that.
I do that a lot because I'm always like, Laura, like I'll hear something and I'm like, oh, why doesn't Laura sing that? And then I'll hear something like, why doesn't Anna sing that? And yet,
I'm. Well, you did Santa Baby and I told you to do that.
You did. She did tell me to do Santa Baby.
And you killed
that,
it.
And
so
I did. Yeah. I do that a lot because I'm always like, I always have their voices in my head, I guess, at this point. When I hear
yeah,
them,
because
like, you should sing that.
You have to, though, because one of the things that makes us good and great, even, is that we listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sing together. You can't sing together if you're only listening to yourself. You have to listen to each other so you get to know.
Yeah. And I think we're all, I mean, we've all also sung in a lot of chorus settings.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. we're pretty in tune as much as we can be with
in
them.
Tune,
but not
emotionally
singing, right.
and musically.
Yeah. But like not being in a chorus, but like finding those spots that really work and make magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Harmonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you hit that harmony, it's like, yeah, it's like nothing else in the world. That sound. You had mentioned Santa Baby and you know, this is our holiday episode. Do you all have any special songs that you enjoy singing around the holidays or any, you know, pieces that are like signature holiday songs?
I think our Jingle Bells is pretty great. Yes. We sing that with Wes. We did that at our first show, I think,
mm-hmm.
back in 2018.
And our virtual show.
And the virtual show last year.
It's the one with like a Michael Bublé cover.
Yeah, it's like a jazzy Jingle Bells.
Oh,
it's very fun.
Yeah, it's very. That's really fun. I love singing. I think we love singing with other people too, especially
yes.
for holiday stuff. You got to have some. Sometimes bringing in a boy, you know, some man's,
mm-hmm.
you know, helps the blend. I don't know. We have some really fun stuff coming that we're working on for our next show.
True. I would say, for when it comes to Christmas rep, like our White Christmas. Happy Holidays mashup is probably one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do a really, really wonderful rendition of I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I always like makes
yeah.
me tear up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a solo on Melikaliki Maka.
Yeah.
So
there
we
always
that's
bring a little ukulele into it always.
Yes.
We're adding in some, I think we're going to add in a few more, like, more classical, or just kind of upping our, kind of like a Silent Night situation.
Yeah, I think some of the holiday stuff that we've sung, you know, a lot of it is standard fare. We've maybe had a little bit more on the side of contemporary,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
modern music, but we want to potentially this year add in some more classical pieces just to also showcase that and kind of create this variety and story in our holiday program.
And then I think our solos that we usually do aren't necessarily, like yours was from a musical.
Mine was from Elf the Musical.
Oh, yes.
Our solos from last year are also clipped on our YouTube. So Santa Baby, Never Fall in Love with an Elf, which
mm-hmm.
I've heard from my parents' friend group just being like, I found your random video online of you singing about falling in love with elves. And I was like, cool.
And then
you
did Christmas Waltz, right?
I did.
Yeah.
And then,
I think I might do Served by a Santa this year, which is from Songs from a New World, and it's a Mrs. Claus saga. And it's a sad story of Mrs. Claus kind of going through a drunken tirade at Mr. Claus. But it's a really fun number. And it's not like a Christmas song. I'm using air quotes, but
mm-hmm.
it has that like fun
musical theater element, but it's also about like Santa. Like, when else are we going to sing about elves, right? Like, never fall in
all
love
the time. What are you talking about? we're still working on our set list for this year, but solidifying everything for this show. But we want to end it with caroling with everyone in the audience too, because
see, that's a favorite thing that we do.
It's just everyone loves their own Christmas song or holiday, whatever, and so we want to be able to open it up and invite people in. Because being able to sing in a large group is something we haven't gotten to do for a long time. So caroling together this year, I think, will be really special with our audience.
Yeah, we'll have audience participation.
We did Silver Bells, our first Christmas concert. And it was, we printed out little lyric sheets and we had them on the tables. And we always also include Peppermint Patties, the candy, at our shows on tables. So we gave everybody like a sheet that they can, and it was lovely. And honestly, that was one of my favorite parts of our concert was like everybody just singing together.
Yeah.
That's what Christmas carols are for. So yeah, I'm excited for that again.
You know, a lot of the source material that we use comes from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. You know, it comes from times of the past. And you know, we are very aware contextually of, you know, where that music comes from. The Andrews sisters were very much symbols of old school values and, you know, a particular era. And so we're very careful about the repertoire that we choose from that because, you know, as we all know, there's things from the past that can be problematic. And so we just, you know, we love vintage vibes, but we do not espouse vintage values. We're very progressive as a group and very sensitive to the content that we put out and the history behind the things that we perform.
I think we also try to collaborate with female composers and arrangers. If we're getting things written for us, we try to support women in the arts, and because that's who we are, and you know, we all could use some more support. You know, anyone in the LGBTQ community, we are you, and you know, we want everyone to feel safe with our content. I think that's a really important thing. And even though we're doing, yes, Andrew Sister stuff, we it's not right. We understand it's not all just fun harmonies all the time. There's stuff that happened in that time that was sensitive, but we are. You know, we try to support each other and everybody that comes to our shows, and that we create a safe musical space for expression for ourselves too.
Very well put.
I don't know if that was way too serious.
I was
I loved that, and it is something to, you know the context of the work that you're putting out. And, you know, there has been, you know, I'm more familiar with musical theater, and so there is more of that understanding of like, okay, are we doing Oklahoma again, or, you know, a Golden Age musical? And what's
exactly
opera's the same too, right?
So. Yeah. And there's songs that we come across in our research where we're like, oh wow, you know, those themes are problematic. We're gonna just kind of move past that one. You know, that's not gonna be a part of our story.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. And that's part of why I created this podcast, because I wanted to say I can be opinionated, and this is I'm going to make this platform for myself. So, you all have mentioned an audience. Are you all doing a live Christmas show this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Do
we blow
up
the mic?
That was so joyful. My heart grew three sizes just seeing the excitement.
Nearly like 2 days ago, right?
Yes, just a few days ago, it became official, but we will be presenting a live Christmas, holiday show at Hey Nani in Arlington Heights. That'll be on December 11th at 7:30 p.m. And we are so excited. This will be our first time at this venue. So we're really excited to like partner with them for this. And it's a gorgeous space. They also have a restaurant there. So, you know, you can have dinner and watch our show, or maybe just get drinks if you want. So I think it's going to be a really, really great experience.
Tickets go on sale next week.
They do. Tickets go on sale.
Check our website.
By the time this episode comes out, that will be tomorrow. So, we'll have to, we will make sure to plug everything before then. But yes, listeners, definitely go tomorrow night in the future to see the Peppermint Patties. So, you know, you all have performed, you know, many times together. What's a favorite memory from your performance careers, either as a group or individually?
Well, that's a lot of, I know we were thinking about that earlier. I'm like, ugh.
I can take this at least for a group okay, memory. Right. So, you know, rewind to 2018, we had just become a vocal trio. We did our first show at Davenport's. And then I mentioned earlier that we actually booked a corporate holiday gig. And so this was our very first sort of private gig, because that's a thing that we also do, is that people contact us and can hire us for private parties or corporate things, et cetera. And so it was our very first corporate gig. And I just remember how kind of scared we were because, you know, we were doing most of this show a cappella. All of the rep was really new for us. You know, we were arriving downtown in this like huge skyscraper. It was just like this very strange experience for us. And we're just like a little like uncertain of how this was going to go. And, you know, we started singing, and then we started seeing people like react to us singing. And it was just a light bulb reminder that, you know, sometimes because of our craft and because of our training, like we take everything so seriously that we forget how, I don't want to say how little it takes for people to like find joy in what we do, but truly like we can show up and, you know, be nervous or unsure of ourselves, but what people hear like brings them joy. Like we don't have to worry about, maybe, I think that was a light bulb moment for me that like what we do.
I think that was the day, it was the morning after our show.
It was, it was right.
We like did our show and then it was literally the morning after we had to go do this other thing.
Why did we do that? I think that's just the day they asked for and we were like, yes, we'll do that.
They're like, we have Christmas cookies. We're like, we'll be there.
We'll sing for cookies.
We will sing for cookies.
Well, they also paid us, I should say. But yes,
they did actually pay us
the cookies were a bonus.
I remember it was just like back to back kind of like gigs like that. And I think we were tired, but it was fun.
Yeah. And everybody had a blast. It was like so cool to do that. And also, you know, to also be like, you know, we did a good job today, and not just like a good job in the way where like, oh, we did something, we felt good about it, but we were working artists in that moment, you know, in the truest sense. We were there because they hired us and they were paying us for the service that we were providing, but we really enjoyed it and they really enjoyed it. And what else can you ask for in your work?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of one for us. I think it's we did a Galentine's Day show in February 2020, like 4 weeks before everything shut down. And we did a show on Thursday night and like nobody came. And then we did a show on Sunday and it was packed. It was at Borelli's, which is a restaurant in Chicago.
That's crazy.
And so people were like eating and drinking and listening to us sing. And so you could feed off the energy. Mm-hmm. And that's just a nice memory for me because we haven't had that since February of 2020 until we do these gigs for this new season.
That was my last live performance before the pandemic happened.
Same.
That's the last time I performed live.
That's a strong... It's a strong memory in that way. I think you said 609 days?
Yeah, something like that. It's been a year and 9 months since we performed.
That's so crazy. Honestly, I'm going to say, I guess as a performance thing for me, I guess I'm going to like kind of go in between these and say, honestly, pandemic stuff in a way, because we know how to rock a live show. We didn't know how to do virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. And personally, it kept me sane during this time. I was also doing virtual recordings for other things as well, but having control over what we put out and making, like I said before, we do our own editing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we learned all that and brought in some really cool people to help us with audio and make us sound really great. And learn techniques that we didn't have before. And I think that brought us, even though we weren't seeing each other because of pandemic and other reasons, it's still like we still felt like a group. And I think a lot of groups and a lot of people during the pandemic, the separation was so great. Mm-hmm. And for us, it brought us together in a different way. And I think that's a good memory. So I guess it is performing because we're like in our house, but then we don't see the performance until it's all together. It's just crazy how we just make magic happen out of like a ring light and our wall.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, and iPhones,
and
GarageBand and, borrowed equipment and things like that.
The result is usually much nicer than our like stacks of books with microphones on top in a basement,
How many people were willing to help us in this and that with audio, with giving us content, being a part of our videos, making music with us in this weird way. I was really touched at how many people supported us financially and watching our stuff. It's crazy.
We should note that, all of our virtual content, for the most part is we release, free. Our virtual holiday concert, we did a pay what you can, Eventbrite. But, access was free. People just had the opportunity, to pay if they wanted to and felt inspired to. And we also have a Ko-fi account where people can tip us if they like our YouTube videos. I mean, none of our YouTube videos are monetized or anything like that. So we've been humbled by people that have reached out to support us in that way. And it's allowed us to, pay collaborators who contribute content to us. And it's allowed us to, reimburse ourselves for the things we've invested in this. And that feels really good, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anna, Dinah, and Laura, this has been such a lovely interview. Thank you so much for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated. You've mentioned your YouTube channels and other social media. What are your handles if our listeners wanted to check you out?
I am the Sleepy Soprano on Instagram.
I'm a Gentlewoman on Instagram.
And I'm One Smally Step, which is private, but I am willing to make it public.
You can also find us on our website, thepeppermintpatties.com, and there'll be links to all of our socials, including our personal ones there.
Yep.
Amazing. We do have one signature question. The podcast is called Sit Still, Look Opinionated. Is there anything that you all are opinionated about? And this can be about anything.
Laura. I am very opinionated that green peas are disgusting and nobody should eat them. I think they are squishy and also like hard, and they like squish and they taste like burnt grass. And I think they're nasty and nobody should eat them anymore. Dinah?
Wow. I'm extremely opinionated about when Christmas colors clash when it's not Christmas. So if I see red and green together, I will lose my mind. It should not happen. Those are not colors that go together. It is a holiday festive thing only. Never wear those colors.
I'm going to use that again.
Never do it.
Dinah, you would have hated my high school because those were my high school colors.
No!
It was red and green. It was.
I would have dropped out because.
It was pretty heinous.
Like green and red, not like forest green and like burnty red.
Nope. This is irrelevant, but my high schools were two different schools that came into one. So one was green and one was red, and they didn't, do any shopping for other colors. They said, we'll just keep it red and green. That's what we have. Completely irrelevant, but.
I am very opinionated about doors that do not function the way that they look. Now, there isn't a word for this. They're called Norman doors, and they're doors when you can't tell if you're supposed to push or pull them. Or it might be a door that has a handle, but you're supposed to push it. Can't stand those. They shouldn't exist. They should be illegal. They make me look really foolish way too often.
The place that I work has a door like that. Yeah. And everyone's like, don't. I'm like, it's posh.
But Norman doors. Look it up. It's a thing.
Those were intense.
Norman doors.
I had no idea we were so opinionated about these things.
We are also very opinionated that you should follow us on all social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yes. Please subscribe.
Please subscribe and like and watch our stuff.
Yes. Yes, definitely do. Listeners do all of those things. I have watched many of your videos and they're quite lovely. So I highly recommend. Well, thank you so much again for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated. I really appreciated having you on. And thank you for spreading some holiday cheer with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Up next, the peppermint patties.
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true.
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday! While the calendar keeps ringing, happy holidays to you. Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
Happy holiday!
While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the calendar keeps ringing, happy holidays to you.
Happy holiday.
I'm
dreaming of
happy
a
holiday.
White
Christmas.
While
merry bells keep ringing, where the treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Happy holiday!
Where the treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright. And may all your
And that's all for today's episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on social media at sitstillpodcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and me, Claire Malky, and written by me, Claire Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Bosanyavichs, Gabriel Skavor, Molly Smith, and Charlie Bain. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter, and royalty-free music from Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link in the show notes. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe to our newsletter at www.sitstillpodcast.com and visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye. Thank you so much for listening this season. It has been such a pleasure, and we'll see you in 2022. Stay opinionated. Bye.